Almighty, grant us a quiet night and peace at the last. Amen. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, O Most High, to herald your love in the morning, your truth at the close of the day. Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, tonight the church remembers the unfathomable death our Lord Jesus willingly took upon himself to take away our sins. It is a reminder of the magnitude of our sin and at the same time the great value he places on us and our salvation. Let us therefore ponder his suffering and death with sober reflection and resolute joy. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins. Amen.
We speak the words of Psalm 22 responsively. My God, why have you forsaken me? O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest.
Yet you are holy, and throned on the praise of Israel.
In you our fathers trusted, they trusted, and you delivered them. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. For dogs encompass me, A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we will sing What Wondrous Love Is This.
Please stand. Let us pray for the whole Christian church that our Lord God would defend her against all the assaults and temptations of the adversary and keep her perpetually on the true foundation, Jesus Christ. Almighty and everlasting God.
Spread throughout.
Let us pray for all the ministers of the word, for all vocations in the church, and for all the people of God. Almighty
and everlasting God, I am the Spirit of the whole body of the church, ever sanctified. Receive the supplications and prayers that you offer before me for all your servants.
Let us pray for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Let us pray, our Lord God Almighty, that he would deliver the world from all error, take away disease, ward off famine, set free those in bondage, and grant health to the sick and a safe journey to all who travel. Let us pray for all who are outside the church, that our Lord God would be pleased to deliver them from their error, call them to faith in the true and living God and his only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and gather them into his family, the church. Let us pray for the fruits of the earth, that God would send down his blessing upon them and graciously dispose our hearts to enjoy them according to his own good will.
Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
Into your hands I commend my spirit.
You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth.
Into your hands I commend my spirit.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Into your hands I commend my spirit.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our crucified Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the meditation this evening are some of the words that our Lord Jesus spoke from the cross, words that are quoted from Psalm 31, verse 5. Simply this: "Into your hands I commend my spirit." This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I haven't been getting a whole lot of sleep lately, and there's probably a few different reasons for that. One of the reasons, of course, being the time of the year, right? I mean, with everything going on during Holy Week, Easter's coming up in just a couple days, and it's no secret that pastors have a lot going on at this time, and we have a lot of extra sermons that we get to write, and my personal routine is that I like to write my sermons very, very early in the morning, like before the rest of the world wakes up, and while it's nice and quiet, that's when I'm writing. That's when I can concentrate. So lately, there's been a lot of early, early mornings for me. But that's not the only reason why sleep has been eluding me lately. Another reason, and actually this is something that Katie's probably been dealing with a little bit more than me, but one of the reasons we're not sleeping well is because Zach hasn't been sleeping very well. For some reason, over the last couple weeks or so, he's been waking up pretty regularly in the middle of the night for a few different reasons. There were a few days last week when he wasn't feeling very good. He had a stuffed up nose. And everybody knows that, you know, when you can't breathe very well, it's kind of hard to sleep. So we all get that. But he's also lately been coming into our room in the middle of the night and telling us that he is afraid. And he's afraid of all different kinds of things. It just depends on the night. Like sometimes he'll say he's afraid of monsters. Sometimes he'll say he's afraid of zombies. Sometimes he'll say he just had a bad dream. Sometimes he says he's afraid of the dark. And so lately, we put him to bed at night, and he kind of begs us to leave the lamp on in his room. Or sometimes he'll ask if we could just crack the door open and leave the hallway light on, because he just is afraid of the dark. And a few times, when he's gotten up in the middle of the night, he's asked if he can crawl into bed with us. Which, of course, is not ideal, right? But sometimes as a parent, you have to pick your battles, because if he's really going to work himself up at 3 in the morning and start crying, well, then there's a chance he's going to wake up his baby brother, right? We don't want that. So sometimes we just give in. We just let him crawl into bed with us, and he pulls the covers up over him and puts his head down on the pillow and falls right asleep. And he stays asleep the rest of the night, which is great. But sometimes he ends up kind of going horizontal in the bed, you know? He's like using mommy as a pillow. He's kicking me in the ribs, you know? It's like, have kids, they said. It'll be fun, they said, right? But the point is that for Zach, the scariness of the dark isn't so scary if he's got mom and dad right there with him. You sort of forget about all the monsters, and you can sleep in peace. We started out the service tonight by hearing the men's quartet sing these words: "The Lord Almighty grant us a quiet night and peace at the last." And that might seem a little strange on a night like tonight. I mean, it is Good Friday after all. We know what's coming. This isn't some Christmas Eve service. This isn't some you know, really warm, fuzzy, easygoing kind of feel-good church service, right? This is the night when we remember that our Savior was crucified on the cross for us. This is the night when the scripture passages that we hear will get a little bit more dramatic and intense as we go. This is the night when the sanctuary gets darker and when the noises get louder. So this idea of peacefulness and quietness, that's probably not necessarily what we are expecting tonight. And yet that is one of the major themes of this worship service: resting in peace. There's a little note about this on the first page of your bulletin today. The parts of the service that the men's quartet are singing come directly out of an ancient rite of the church called the Order of Compline. Compline was basically a service that was done by early Christians right before they would go to bed. If you're curious about the service, it is in our hymnal. You can check it out sometime for yourself. It starts on page 253. But essentially what happens in this service of Compline is that we're kind of like these three-year-olds who don't want to be in the darkness all by ourselves, and so we pray for our Heavenly Father to protect us from all the monsters, to protect us from sin and death and the devil. Keep them away, all so that we can fall asleep and we can get that rest, that peaceful rest that we all so desperately need. Just before the sermon hymn, Abide With Me, we heard it sung four times, those words, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." Like I said, we know where those words came from, right? Luke's account of the crucifixion tells us that those were some of the last words that Jesus spoke before he breathed his last. In this moment of terrible pain and suffering, our Lord cries that prayer out to our Heavenly Father. It also happens to be a quote from Psalm 31, as I mentioned. And just for some context, let me kind of read for you some of the other verses that come before this in Psalm 31. It sounds like this: "You are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commend my spirit." So those are the words on the mind and on the tongue of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his most desperate moment, knowing that our Heavenly Father is bigger and stronger than the darkness and bigger and stronger than all the monsters that he was facing in that moment, so that he willingly died for you and for me and experienced peaceful rest in the tomb until the third day. And what an amazing example that is for us whenever we are about to put our heads down on the pillow at night. Obviously, death and sleep are two different things, right? But they are similar things, and the scriptures do compare them from time to time. The thing about both death and sleep is that in both cases, you are not in control of what happens to you. So on the one hand, with sleep, you're not in control of what happens all around you. You're vulnerable to anything that might be lurking in the darkness around you. And on the other hand, when you pass away, well, you're not in control of that either. Your loved ones are the ones who take care of your body. Our Heavenly Father takes care of your soul in heaven until the day of the resurrection. So either way, whether we're sleeping or whether we're dying, we have to completely rely upon our Heavenly Father to take care of us. So to pray these very same words that Jesus spoke from the cross, whenever we are about to fall asleep, to say, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," that's a very appropriate thing to do. It's actually, if you think about it, just kind of like that prayer that a lot of us learned, that rhyming prayer, as children, as kids, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Into your hands I commend my spirit." But we're not kids anymore. At least most of us aren't. And so the things that keep us awake at night are probably a lot different from the things that, you know, have been bothering Zachary, for example, these last couple of weeks. I don't expect that many of us here would say that we're really afraid of monsters that might be hiding in our closets or hiding under our beds. But there are monsters in our lives, aren't there? Everybody's got something that they might be afraid of, something that you're worried about, something that really does literally keep you up at night. You just kind of turn it over and over in your head and lose out on that rest that we so need. Even though our problems might be a whole lot more serious than a preschooler's problems, you know, the solution is very, very similar. Because when the darkness of this world makes us fearful, all we really need to do is crawl into the mighty arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to commend our spirits into his hands, because he and he alone is able to actually take care of all of those scary things that are out there. And tonight, Good Friday, is the proof that we needed that God really does love us, that God really does take care of us, that he was willing to sacrifice his son on the cross for us so that we could live with him forever and ever. When we hear some of the scary details of that event in the Passion readings later this evening, when we feel the darkness closing in and it seems like everything is just getting more and more intense, we can face it all without any fear whatsoever. Because we know that the crucifixion is not the end of this story. The light will return, and the grave will be open, and Easter is going to be here before you know it. So yes, we are going to leave this service in silence tonight, but it's not because we're silent out of fear and out of shock. We're silent because we're peaceful. We're at peace and we're quiet because we know that the monsters can't hurt us anymore. Thanks to Jesus, we can truly rest in peace. In his name, amen. And now, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We continue our service now as we sing, Chief of Sinners Though I Be.
Thank you.
has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. We sing, Savior, when in dust to thee.
The plot to take his life. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. We sing the first four verses of Jesus, Priceless Treasure.
Thank you.
the Garden of Gethsemane. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John, and he began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." We sing the first two verses of "Go to Dark Gethsemane."
Betrayal and the arrest in the garden. While Jesus was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. We sing verses 1, 6, and 7 of "Christ, the Life of All the Living."
Thank you.
Peter's denial. Then they seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking at him closely, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times." And he went out and wept bitterly. We will now sing verses 1, 3, and 5 of O Sacred Head Now Wounded.
Jesus before Pilate. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again, and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So, do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. We sing the first four verses of "O Dearest Jesus."
Thank you.
crucifixion. And Jesus went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier. Also his tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. We will now hear from the men's quartet.
Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by men rejected, yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. Proofs I see sufficient of it, 'tis the true and faithful word. Tell me, ye, was there ever grief like his? Friends through fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were raised to wound him, none would interpose to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sad road. Christ appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. Here we have a firm foundation, hear the refuge of the lost. Christ the rock of our salvation is the name of which we boast. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope hath built.
The Burial. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.
Hear my prayer, O Lord, listen to my cry. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. In righteousness I shall see you when I awake. Your presence will give me joy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace.
Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people. A light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. The Lord Almighty grant us a quiet night and peace at the last.